Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
1 hour down and three to go. This is Grant and Danny. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan, and we appreciate you doing so. Peach has documented how prolific the Nats were last night. 16 hits, 13 runs. Big win over the Braves. We're going to get back into that game and their series with Atlanta coming up in just a bit this hour on G&D. But I saw this yesterday, wanted to bounce this off of you. So the odds are out right now for the most likely players to win the Offensive Player of the Year award in the NFL via BetOnline. And I thought we could look at the seven or so most likely guys and try to figure out, A, who the most likely to win the Rookie of the Year award is offensively, but also maybe where the best value is if you're going to put some cash down, maybe where you could make the most money. So Dwayne Haskins checks in tied for the second best odds to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. And he's actually tied with a much lesser name in Daryl Henderson, who is a 7-1 favorite to win this award. So you've got Kyler Murray, goes without saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one pick, starting quarterback, unquestioned, day one on with the Arizona Cardinals. They traded last year's first rounder, Josh Rosen, to make room for Kyler Murray, who at Oklahoma last year won the Heisman Trophy. He played so well, in fact, that he played his way out of a ton of money in baseball as the former eighth overall pick with the Oakland Athletics. But he completed 69% of his passes for 4,361 yards, threw for 42 touchdowns last year, and in the meantime, he rushed for 1,000 yards and 12 more touchdowns as one of the great players in recent college football history. So, he goes number one. They bring in a college coach in Cliff Kingsbury. He's bringing the air raid offense to the league. We're not really sure what to expect. But it goes without saying that Kyler Murray is probably going to be your Offensive Rookie of the Year. He'll get the best opportunity and chance to with the number of touches of the football. And with his skill set, you'd like to think he'll be electrifying. But then right behind him at 8-5, a 7-1 odds for Dwayne Haskins and Daryl Henderson. There was a quarterback taken before Dwayne Haskins. At number six overall, Daniel Jones with the New York Giants. Are you surprised Haskins is the next QB on the list? Are you surprised that he's tied with Henderson?
No, because he has a better chance to play probably early than, you know, Daniel Jones does, because they're going to try and play Eli Manning as much as they possibly can, because it's the politically right thing to do in New York. So Manning's probably going to play, you know, majority of the snaps unless he gets hurt. So Jones won't have perhaps the same access. I think there's a better chance, at least in theory, that Haskins could play, could maybe out-duel Case Keenum potentially for the position. And
well,
that's probably why he gets the call there.
Think about this, Pete. If you're Dwayne Haskins, Case Keenum, who was brought in for next to no money,
mm-hmm.
was a journeyman who's on his third team in 3 years, is what's standing between you from a starting job right now. Now, Eli Manning is not particularly great at this point, but his agent, Tom Condon of CAA Sports, worked a pretty darn good deal for him, and he's a $23.2 million cap hit this year. It's a lot harder to bench a $23.2 million cap hit than Case Keenum, who makes next to no money.
Who also has multiple Super Bowls under his belt, and he's a legend in the town. I mean, there's so many things that go with good Eli point. Manning in New York there as well, where Case Keenum obviously is a newcomer to town, just like Dwayne Haskins is.
The other guy, though, in this top three is, you know, if you're doing the old, one of these is not like the others. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson played his college ball at Memphis, so that means that you called at least one of his games.
I've called multiple games of Daryl Henderson's and seen a ton of him. He's terrific.
Third-round pick, was the sixth pick in the third round. He's undersized at 5'8", but he's a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 210 pounds. At the combine, he ran a 4.49 40. So he's not a burner, but he's pretty fast for a guy with his body type, and he's strong as an ox at 22 reps. Here's what's interesting to me, though. He was drafted by the LA Rams. for him to have these odds, it tells me that BetOnline, which is where we're getting these numbers from, is on the list, and there's a growing number of people in this group that are really worried about Todd Gurley. Because if Todd Gurley's healthy, Daryl Henderson is playing second fiddle, and he'll have some production, presumably, but you're not going to be the offensive rookie of the year in an offense where Todd Gurley's a three-down back. To me, this means they're buying the possibility that Gurley may not be around, and then you need a like the stretch run that Anderson had last year. You need a fill-in who then all of a sudden gets those 20 carries and those six or seven catches, and they're thinking Henderson could be that guy.
This kid is explosive. He can affect the game. I've seen him do it in kick return. I've seen him do it as a pass receiver. I've seen him do it as a runner. He has the entire package. He's an explosive player, and in that offense, it sets you up to be put in explosive situations. That's the beauty of what Sean McVay does. He gets matchups, and he puts guys in great positions to be explosive. I mean, at one point he made Cooper Kupp look like an explosive player. So I think you've got a guy that, in Daryl Henderson, look, if they're going to preserve Todd Gurley, Daryl Henderson's going to get some workload, and Daryl Henderson is one of those guys, Grant, that every time he touches the football, he has a chance to hit the rocket burner and be gone and make an explosive play, which is why they're giving him this opportunity, especially because he's playing in one of the most explosive offenses in the game. Opportunity will be there for Daryl Henderson.
I think he's legit. The part that I worry about is what the last sentence you just said. Opportunity will be there. Only if Todd Gurley's not available. Because otherwise, he's a bell cow. Now, do I think that Todd Gurley's going to be able to take on the workload he's had in the past? I don't. Am I worried about his health? Absolutely. And so I actually tend to think maybe he will get those chances. My point is, if Gurley is healthier than we're all assuming, speculating, fearing, then Henderson is just not going to be the household name that he's got a chance to be with the Rams. But they didn't draft him because they're confident in Gurley. They didn't draft him because they think Gurley's going to be able to take on his 23 to 25 touches a game. Right behind those big three, Murray, Henderson, Haskins, so that's the Cardinals, Rams, Redskins, Josh Jacobs, 8-1, running back from Alabama, first rounder by the Raiders and John Gruden. He's going to be their featured back, focal point of their offense this year. Scouts loved him. I mean, all the analysts raved about him. You and I did the draft show. He's one of those prototypical better in the NFL than college skill set backs. And then another interesting guy here. From a fantasy perspective, listen up. Tune in on this. David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears went to Iowa State. He's built kind of like almost like a Clinton Portis. He's about 5'10 and right around 220 pounds, a little heavier, a little bigger than Clinton Portis. Here's my issue with David Montgomery. He's almost borderline slow as a running back. He ran a 4.63 40. Now, even if you tell me that that's a bad time they got him at the combine or it was a bad day, okay. 4.6, that's Alfred Morris territory. I always worry because Morris was not ever going to hit a home run. If he broke through the line and got an angle, he was ripping it off for 37 or 40 yards. He was never going to go 75 to the house. I think Montgomery's going to kind of be that type of back, but my guess is he's going to turn a lot of 1 or 2 yard carries into 5 or 6. Remember, Chicago moved on from a very successful running back over the last couple of years that they traded to the Philadelphia Eagles and Jordan Howard.
David Montgomery, though, a guy that, like Henderson, not only can run it, he can catch it. But to your point, running-wise, his freshman year at Iowa State in limited action, he carried over 5 yards carry, but he was just over 4 at Iowa State. But more often than not, most of his time at Iowa State, he was the elite offensive weapon. He had a lot of carries. Teams keyed on him, you know, 4.4 yards per carry, 4.7 yards per carry. So, again, the question is, it comes down to opportunity, and if a guy puts up enough numbers, and you know how, granted, if somehow he ends up around 13 or 14 rushing touchdowns or something like that, ends up being a featured player for them, which he possibly could be, those are the kind of numbers that attract people, especially those who don't necessarily cover the Bears on a regular basis, but do the voting. They look at the raw number and go, oh, 14 touchdowns, he really affected his team offensively, so that guy gets a vote.
Who's your offensive rookie of the year?
It's a fabulous question. I mean, Murray clearly is going to have the opportunity. But if I had to take just out of that group, knowing what opportunity that I know for sure, I'm going to go Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs in Oakland is going to have the opportunity, and I think he has the ability. He was sharing the carries with so many running backs at Alabama during his time there. He never had a chance to put up elite college numbers, but I think in terms of his ability, my question for him is going to be his long-term health there with the Raiders and in the pro game. But I think in this first year, I think Josh Jacobs is a guy peaking right now at the right time. I think his overall opportunity right now may be over the rest of that bunch. If you could tell me Haskins was going to play, I might consider Dwayne. But my fear for Kyler Murray is who's he playing with and how much success are they going to have?
I don't know that it matters that much. He's going to play 16 games if he's healthy.
But if he stinks or puts up very moderate numbers, I don't know how you could go with him.
I think he's going to run around and make a lot of plays. Like if Lamar Jackson last year could make some plays with his feet, Kyler Murray's going to, and he's a much, much better passer on his worst day.
But who's he throwing to?
It doesn't matter. I mean, he's going to be able to complete passes in a way that I think short and intermediate in that offense with a air raid and spread. Where it's just going to be a bunch of dudes you're plucking off of assembly line running 7-yard routes.
You're putting faith in a guy and a head coach that just got fired at Texas Tech for a 5-win season. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's hard to coach at Texas Tech.
Mike Leach did it all right.
He did it okay, but good luck recruiting against Texas and some of those other schools.
I'm just saying.
You can keep just saying. I'm just saying that you got Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, you got Andy Isabella in the second round, Hakeem Butler in the fourth round.
Andy and Isabella played at UMass against a really average schedule.
That's four wide receivers that are probably as good or better than anybody on the Redskins, by the way.
It's possible.
They don't have the worst wide receiving core in the world. If you want to go non-quarterback, Pete, I'm going to go wide receiver on this. Sleeper. I don't know if he's a sleeper. He was drafted pretty high. Debo Samuel out of South Carolina. Debo Samuel's about 6 foot, 215. He got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. You know who designs the offense in San Francisco?
Your boy, Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan, who he gets fixated on feeding wide receivers the football. And if you're his guy, he just forces you the rock. That could be his new Pierre
Garçon. Garoppolo's healthy the whole year. There's no question Debo Samuel could be a guy that puts up some legitimate numbers. Terrific college production at South Carolina.
4-4-8. But quarterbacks win that award. You know, running backs don't. Normally wide receivers don't. So I'll go the number one pick, the guy that's going to play 16 games, Murray, and just play it safe. You're not making any money that way, though. So my sleeper is Debo Samuel. Pete's sleeper is Josh Jacobs. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Pete Medhurst, as always, filling in capably for Danny Ruye. He'll be keeping you up to date of everything going on in sports every 30 minutes. Next, let's get into the Nats and the Braves from last night right here on the Fan. So first of all, I wasn't planning on talking about this at all. I didn't know anything about this until it came into my inbox literally 10 minutes ago. And I just saw it during the commercial break for the first time. And if you think, well, this just sounds like you pumping up something for the Nationals because you're a partner with the Nationals, you're wrong. They send press releases all the time about things they're doing or giveaways that they're having, and you'll never hear me talk about them on the air unless we have some read or some sponsorship or something like that. I'm only bringing this up because I think this is a really, really cool thing that they are doing, and I think that it's an incredible idea. And that's kind of why it infiltrated the wall that normally is, I don't really care what the latest promotion is or project that they have going on. I care about baseball and strikeouts and home runs and winning games, and that's what we talk about on the show. That having been said, that out of the way, the Nationals just sent out this press release. They are launching a Kids Eat Free program. Fans ages 12 and under are going to receive free meals at Nationals Park during every home game through Labor Day. So this is essentially going to be now until the end of August. So a month and a half trial run, perhaps. They'll see how this goes. Just reading a snippet, or as Fred Smoot would call it, a snippet from the press release here. The Nationals are launching the Kids Eat Free program, a brand new initiative that will offer complimentary meals for children ages 12 and under, beginning with the July 22 game when they're back at home against the Rockies, running through Labor Day against the Mets. The Nats are the first major league team to offer free meals to young fans for every home game. The quote here from the EVP of baseball ops, Jake Burns, is, "We are thrilled to launch the first of its kind program." Here's the deal. You can see a picture here in the press release. It looks like a Happy Meal.
I'm looking at it.
and they're going to give kids complimentary meal packs. So if you have a kid 12 or under and you go to the ballpark, I literally got a tweet from a guy yesterday who said, you know, I'm not sure you really understand how expensive it is to eat if you're a fan at the ballpark. And I told the guy, I go to the games as a fan way more often than I do as media to begin with. But I don't obviously don't have a family of four. And he said, just to feed my kids is this expensive? Well, if your kids are 12 or under, they're eating for free now. You're getting a choice of a hot dog, chips, applesauce, soda, water. There's different things that you can kind of pick and choose from all in this little kit for free, available in sections 1-4.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
33 or 304 in the gallery level. I think this is a really smart idea. We keep talking about trying to grow baseball to younger fans, getting more families at games. Well, you know what drives families away from games, Pete? The fact that if you have two or three kids who are between, say, 6 and 12 years old, and they're all eating a hot dog and getting a soda and getting some chips, that's like $15 a pop. Now it's free and you don't have to worry about it. I think that's a pretty cool idea by the Nats.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Sign up for the Junior Nationals Kids Club program, and you must be registered free of charge for the Junior Nationals Club. But not only that, so not only are your kids going to get the free meal, but they're also going to get some of the other benefits of being a part of that Junior Nationals Kids Club. Look, there's so many kids, especially in this city specifically, and this is why they're doing it through Labor Day, that when school is not in session, those kids do not get the kind of meals that they depend on. That meal that they get at school that day could be the closest thing to a full meal they get all day in some capacities. So this is a great gesture by the Nationals to do this. And more importantly, it gets more kids out to the ballpark. And if they enjoy the product, then they're going to keep coming back to the ballpark. Plus, they get to enjoy the other amenities of that Junior Nationals Kids Club. And look, this is all part of the fact that the Nats have the Nationals Youth Academy over in Southeast. And you and I, obviously, were there a few weeks ago. They have their finger on the pulse of the community with the kids that they serve through that Youth Academy. And they see what some of these kids go through every day. It's a great expansion of the Junior Nationals Kids Club program.
Yeah, and I think, look, there's some good to be done in the community. I mean, I'm not saying this has nothing to do with one of those studies I saw that just came out that had to do with at-risk youth and how bad things are in D.C. compared to other communities. But I don't even think this is trying to solve any of those problems. I don't even know, frankly, how related this is to the Nats Youth Academy.
But they're also trying to reduce...
Get the family in the ballpark.
No question.
This is, I've got a family of five with three young kids. I can't afford to come to your game because just to eat dinner in the ballpark costs me more than if I was going out to a nice dinner or at Outback or something. And now they're going, okay, well, here's three catered meals in boxes you can pick up for your kids. So now you got to worry about you and the wife and your barbecue sandwiches. That's a big deal. So kudos. And again, if it sounds like we're doing some bidding for the Nats or this is some big commercial, it turned out that way because they did a cool thing and they deserve credit for it. Certainly not because we needed to. It's something I saw in my email and I wanted to tip my cap. We talk all the time about baseball, the health of the sport, how there aren't enough young fans, how we can do a better job getting young people in the ballpark to like this sport, and this is one way to do it. So that's why we're discussing it. Kurt Suzuki, by the way, of the Nationals, will be on the show today. Coming up on Grant and Danny at 1 o'clock. It really is incredible. Even though Yan Gomes has not hit much this year at all, he's barely over 200 right now, Suzuki himself has had a pretty strong season. OPS just under 800, hitting about 260. And he's shown some power. I want to talk with him when he comes on about how he's turned his career around offensively. 11 bombs this year. He's going to end up somewhere around maybe 17 home runs, which will be his second highest total ever. And he's hit more homers over the last 3 years than at any point since 09 to 11. And it seems to be really philosophically made a shift offensively. But with those two guys compared to last year, the last couple of years, maybe there's not a spot on the roster where they're more improved than at catcher. And that was a quiet move this offseason. They traded for Gomes. And I remember when they went and got Suzuki, Danny and I thought, man, that's a little bit redundant. I'm not really sure. They gave him a multi-year contract. Why would they do that? Well, you can make the case right now, maybe not as a thrower out, thrower of runners, throwing guys out, but certainly offensively, he's the guy you'd like to see on the field more. Now, they can't play him every day. They'll just wear him down because he's in his mid-30s and you need to give him a rest. But the catching position has been fixed by Mike Rizzo.
And even though he struggled early in the season defensively, even Gomes is coming around in that capacity back to where he was through a couple of, you know, a couple of runners out, obviously, in the Baltimore series. And his percentage of thrown runners out this year is pretty good as it pertains to catchers right now. So, you know, from that standpoint, you're right. I mean, I'm not sure any position has been upgraded more in terms of overall production than what they're getting from that spot so far. And look, there, look, Kurt Suzuki's a solid pro because when somebody else, you know, doesn't renew him, somebody else is always willing to take him on because there's so much respect for his ability still out there as both a receiver and as a guy right now that, as you mentioned, may be performing above expectation at the plate.
Hank says the Redskins should take note from the Nats about the Kids Eat Free program. Says that's pretty dope. Yeah, not just the Redskins, but I would say just about any
everybody
team in town, any team anywhere. You want an 8 or a 9-year-old at the ballpark, it should be a little bit cheaper to get them out there.
Hot dog and a can experience of soda does not cost a lot of money.
No. And not to joan too much on the caliber of the hot dog, because some of the places, you know, they've got some neat little spots where they do designer hot dogs and whatnot, whether it's Hot Dog or they've got Ben's Chili Bowl. But some of the hot dogs you're buying at just like the stadium grill fare, we're not talking about high-end hot dog production here either.
No.
It should not cost you $14.
I mean, you're talking about a little cup of applesauce that, you know, exactly, in the store costs you 50 cents.
It shouldn't cost you $14 to feed your kid at a baseball game. Grant and Danny with Pete hanging out on The Fan. We talked about the odds for Rookie of the Year award balloting at season's end for Dwayne Haskins. A little bit later in the show, we'll get into the favorites to win the MVP award. Also, piece I saw yesterday on some bold NFL predictions came out. I want to run through those with you, Pete, and let's see what we agree with, what we disagree with as viable possibilities. This is G&D. I figured it would be fun to pull up the 12 bold predictions for the 2019 NFL training camp slate from For the Win, and you and I would just run through them and rank them on a 1 to 10 scale in terms of how likely they are. Thought that would be a good little exercise. So we'll do that now for your listening pleasure. Just a little housekeeping for you. Housekeeping? What's the line in Tommy Boy? Oh, I miss Chris Farley so much. Have you heard Adam Sandler's Chris Farley song, by the way?
It's been a long time.
Well, this is a newer song.
Oh, a newer version?
Yeah, he came out with a song. It's on his Netflix special right now. He did it on SNL, I think, when he came back to Saturday Night Live. It's incredible. I heard it while driving back from the beach this weekend again. I heard it for the first time a few weeks ago. And it took everything I had not to cry while I was sitting there driving. It's such a good, like, heartfelt, emotional song. But I'm a huge Chris Farley mark. Always loved everything he did. Think he's the funniest guy in the world. He was just going a million miles an hour, and he knew he wasn't going to be here very long, and he just tried to make the most of the limited time he had. But he could have probably changed his lifestyle.
I love Adam Sandler's creativity in all of those offbeat songs that he does.
Yeah, he's pretty talented as a musician. I don't know that he'll ever get credit for it because it's just a lot of like, whoopity-doopity-doo. Now his movies mostly stink. But anyway, we'll get to winning off the field at 11:45. That was the housekeeping to get done. We will be finding out how you're in the win column coming up in about 10 minutes here on Grant and Danny. All right, here are your 12 bold predictions from For the Win that we will react to. Number one, Daniel Jones starts the season opener for the New York Giants. 1 to 10 scale, 10 meaning it's absolutely happening, 1 meaning no chance that it happens. Where are you at on Daniel Jones starting the season for the Giants?
I think there you can never say never. I mean, Eli Manning could take a bad step in practice, and Daniel Jones is the starter, but I would say there is very little chance that Daniel Jones is the starter on opening
day. That's the exercise.
1.
1? 10%, yeah, basically. All right, yeah. I'll go 2. I'll go 20%. Why not? I'll say that he could have a great camp, great preseason, and the groundswell begins from that media core. Number 2, the L.A. Chargers trade Melvin Gordon. They can't get a deal done. He wants too much money. This is a guy in 2018 that obviously saw his role when he was healthy, massive, but then they needed Justin Jackson to fill in for him, and Justin Jackson went for 200 yards on 50 carries and wasn't particularly great, and I think, if anything, you probably had your importance grow in their offense if you're Melvin Gordon after that.
I would say this is a lot of huff and puff and I'll blow your house down type stuff, so I will say the chances of them trading him would be three, because every now and then one NFL general manager will make you a psychotic offer that you just have to take on the other end.
I'm going to say 3.5 on this one. Just a little bit more than you, but like you, I think it's unlikely. Remember, and this hurts him some, I guess, you can find running backs in the mid, even late rounds. There are guys available, I believe, in free agency right now. I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. Jay Ajayi, Alex Collins, among others, can still be signed this minute. Those are guys who have had some success in the league the last couple of years. Let's move quickly here. Josh Gordon takes the field in week one for the Patriots.
7.
Oh, you think that's super likely?
Yes.
No news on Gordon applying for reinstatement just yet. I'm going to set it lower. I'm going to say 2. I have a hard time believing after he got in trouble again, Roger Goodell's just going to open the door for him to come right back. Remember, they did draft N'Keal Harry, who a lot
good
of people
player.
Think is going to be a
yep.
stud. You a believer in him?
Yes, very much so.
The Dallas Cowboys complete 0 contact attract extensions for their big name stars before week one. So Dak Prescott doesn't get his deal. Amari Cooper still waiting for a payday. And Ezekiel Elliott does not get paid either. None of the three get a new contract.
Before the start of the season, I will say 8. I just think
wow.
that I think the Cowboys are trying to put this off as far as they can. You know, if something happens to one of those players, or say Prescott plays poorly, takes a step back this year for some reason, that may affect the negotiations going on there. I just think the Cowboys are waiting as long as they possibly can, because you're talking about significant cap issues to try and sign all three.
I'll say 3 out of 10. I think they get a deal done with Dak Prescott. If not him, it'll be Cooper. Elliott's going to come last, in my opinion. I think one of those two guys, quarterback or wide receiver, gets his money. Moving along, the Cleveland Browns come out of camp in the preseason looking like a Super Bowl contender.
I'll go 6 on that. I mean, let's slow the roll a little bit. While they showed great improvement, new head coach here and everything, I'm not going to go balls to the wall with them just yet, because I think the other teams in their division are still have good veteran presence and are going to be decent. So I think I'll go 6 on that.
They call me Cleveland Browns Paulson for a reason. 9 out of 10 on this one.
Wow.
The Browns have a great camp. They stay healthy. They flash in the preseason, because that's all it takes. And at that point, the hype train is on. We're talking about them as a contender in the AFC. How about Josh Rosen winning the job on Miami, and the Dolphins come out of camp with everyone thinking they're much more competent than they were?
I think he definitely going to win the job. Whether that makes them competent or not, I don't know. But in terms of him winning the job, I'll go 8 on that.
I'm going to go 10.
I would be shocked
if he didn't win the job.
I would be too.
And by the way,
to be honest with
you, I think our answers, a combined 18, the highest we've had. It means this wasn't that bold. Honestly, to say that Rosen comes out winning the job and the Dolphins look okay out of camp in the preseason, that's just not that bold. Then let's round it down this way. The Bears realize they don't have enough weapons for Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears, all we talked about last year was how many weapons they had. Now, they did trade Jordan Howard, I mentioned, to Philadelphia, but David Montgomery, they are going to start at running back. They've got Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Riley Ridley, they just drafted in the 4th round,
yep.
Marvin Hall, Cordero Patterson, all playing with a guy in Mitch Trubisky who's pretty good, not to mention Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen at tight end. Could they possibly think they don't have enough weapons for him? Tarik Cohen, I forgot about as well.
I think, look, adding Montgomery to go to kind of complement Cohen there, I think there are enough weapons for the Bears there. I think there's plenty. So I would go 3, 4 on that, tops.
I'm going to go 2. Yeah. If they don't win, it's not going to be because they don't have weapons. It's going to be a Trubisky problem.
That's correct.
All right, let's round it out this way. The last one here, skipped a few of their dozen, but Case Keenum beats out Dwayne Haskins for the Redskins starting job.
Strictly a hunch, dude, for the we're just talking first game, right?
Yeah, this is out of camp.
I'm gonna be a wuss and go 5.
Okay.
Because I do think it's a 50-50 proposition right now.
I'm going to go 7.5. 75% chance that happens right now. I don't know why I feel this way. I'll be really surprised as of this moment if Dwayne Haskins starts week one. Really surprised.
See, I think the only thing that goes in his favor, I think there's much more in the package for Dwayne Haskins overall. And I think he can flash. Obviously. I think he can do enough, Grant, to beat out Keenum in terms of physical ability. Question is, how many mistakes is he going to make? I mean, how many mistakes are we going to see from him in training camp and obviously during exhibitions? No, right.
You know, guys played with his experience season, one level full in college season. It just doesn't generally work out for them in that first year in the NFL. And I think the Redskins know that.
A lot of questions with his weapons, too. So
you can make the case that playing him could be detrimental. I don't see any way where having him sit and watch in the NFL could be detrimental to his development. It's not like I'm asking you to sit
in
for
theory,
4 years.
I would agree with that.
Kurt Suzuki is on the show at 1 o'clock. Nats got a huge win, 16 hits, 13 runs to beat the Braves last night. The Beltway Blitz at noon coming up at the top of the hour, but next we are winning off the field. Very simple exercise. You call us and you tell us how you are in the win column, what's gone right in your day. Got to be a tiny mini moral victory. 800-636-1067. Line up your Friday winning off the field calls. Next.
You know,
I agree with you, Troy. That was Troy Aikman's analysis. I don't remember when or why. It's just taken out of context, frankly, to make him look
all
bad.
All those concussions he had as an NFL player.
See, now you made me feel bad, Pete. By going there, we're just kind of poking fun at him, stammering a little bit. Now you're like, make it very serious.
We've all done that, though. We've all done that while we're talking.
We have. I agree. That's true, Troy. The second part of what he said there, not the first part or the third part. You just isolate the middle part is what I agree with the most. But the first part, do the first part now. No, I don't agree with that. And the third part was the worst. What he said the third part to me is honestly the most controversial. That's bad. Like, you can't say that on the air and not expect to lose your job. But the second part, there's some meaning. If you just take this and you kind of go in with an open mind. That part, yeah. That's the part right there I think we're all better for having heard. How are you winning off the field? 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener line.
Hey, Bob.
Pete, you know how this works. Bruce Allen once said this out at Redskins Park, and so years later, we still do this segment in his honor.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
Here's how it works. I'll give you a little example. I went to Kansas City, I'm sure. I went to Cleveland. I was in Cleveland, and I bought this T-shirt. It's from a company called Homage, and it says, Legends Never Die. It is a Sandlot T-shirt. I love it. It's just a dark gray shirt with white script writing. It says, Legends Never Die. Really, really like the shirt. I got back from the beach, and I realized, I think, I must have left that shirt. I'm not sure what I did with it. It might be gone forever. Well, today, as I'm getting ready to pick out a shirt to come into work, it was folded on the top of my T-shirts in my drawer because my wife had grabbed it, put it in her bag, laundered it, cleaned it, folded it, and put it in my drawer. She's just so nice and so sweet. And I got to wear my Legends Never Die shirt. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
Pete, how are you in the win column?
Yesterday, I text my daughter, say, hey, what time do you have to be at Bible school? Normally, it's 4. I said, where are you at? Do you need me to take you? She texts me back. She goes, no, mom's got me. I'm at the Amish market. Immediately, my radar goes up.
Oh,
I said,
Pete's
hey.
Happy.
I said, hey, can you get me a pepperoni pretzel roll? And she goes, mom sent me in here. She goes, I don't think I'm gonna have enough money, dad. So she goes and gets the chicken salad, which we always get. We love the Amish market chicken salad. But to her credit, because she loves her father, and believe me, Hoss, she loves her father.
Good to hear.
She texts me back. She says, good news, dad. It's $3.10. I have $3.14. So I got one for you. Yeah. So therefore I am
winning off the field.
How old is the daughter?
She just turned 11.
She's texting? She has her own phone?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that the age where that normally happens?
It's if we can trust you, if you can use it, sure.
The idea of my daughter.
So many of her friends have them, and I had to keep hearing on it. She just beat on me and beat on her mother until we finally, you know, said, okay, we'll give you a shot. And so far,
if you just beat Keaton to submission, good. You can get what you want, I guess.
That's only because you're my daughter. My boys had to wait till they were like 14.
I don't know. I'd just
be scared. He's a fun guy.
I'd be scared for my daughter to be texting and stuff. Let's go to Eric in Winton. What's up, Eric? How are you?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. I filled out a survey for Chick-fil-A and got myself a free Chick-fil-A sandwich and a small fry. I had water in the car. Total meal was $1.75. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Victory is yours. Steve is in Gainesville. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Love this show.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm in the process of restoring my antique motorcycle. So I wanted to call up Geico to have it added back to my insurance. But, you know, I'm a young guy, so my insurance rates are already pretty high. But I got a quote. It was including theft protection, only $16 a month, man. Therefore, I am
winning off
That's
the field.
That's outstanding. Real quick, what kind of antique motorcycle is it so I can Google it?
It's a 1981 Yamaha XS850.
XS, what is it?
850.
XS850.
All right, I'm looking at it. Oh, wow, that's a cool-looking bike. That's really cool. $16 a month. Here's the bike he's talking about. Looks like I've seen that in a movie from, like, the 80s or something like that.
Not bad.
I wonder if it's all black like this one is.
And then you can drive through traffic like most motorcyclists do when it's bumper to bumper. You just drive in between everybody, and you get to your destination faster than those of us in a car.
I'd love to open my door just once and just, you know, just open the door. Oh, I would never do it. Well, of course I wouldn't do
That's
it.
That's cold, Grant.
It's cold to break every law in the book and just come in between traffic.
We were going down Route 4 this morning at 85 miles an hour, and a guy on a motorcycle went faster.
I would love.
Like a bullet.
When you come putting through the lanes in traffic just one time to open my door to, like, spit or, you know, like, oh, I dropped something. Let's go to Matt.
You're assaulting me now.
What's up, Matt?
Hey.
Hey, Bob.
I had to send some mail out, and I was thinking, I'm going to have to figure out where to buy stamps. So I thought, why don't I check my truck out? And I found two stamps. I got one for later. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field?
It's the perfect winning off the field call. He's even got a stamp for the next time he has to mail something. Chris in Virginia.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
I had to get the approval from our doc to be accepted for Madrax's door-to-door service. He approved it. Altered disability, unable to work status.
You know,
from the bus and train, so I am
winning off the field.
Yeah, you are. I couldn't track all of that, but it sounds like I think his phone wasn't great.
That's what I was thinking the whole time,
hey,
Tommy.
You're winning off the field, Thank you for the call.
Good
Robin Ashburn,
good
what's
you,
up?
Sir.
You guys are making me laugh. All right,
Bob.
I chalk one up for Tommy there. That was good.
All right, here's a T-shirt story. This is how I'm winning off the field. I bought a T-shirt from my dad, 85 years old, lives in an assisted living facility, has two chickens walking opposite direction on the sidewalk. One has a bucket of chicken under his wing and is eating a leg. The other one looks at him and says, "That's just wrong, dude. That's how I'm winning off the field."
Winning off the field.
Thank you, buddy. Andre Manassas, last word.
So I know you guys both are big barbecue aficionados. I don't know if you cook it, but I'm cooking some. Went to Costco because I'm barbecuing tomorrow. Went and got some ribs. And one of the worst parts of barbecue, at least for me, is to remove the membrane from the back of the ribs. Went to Costco, got the ribs, came home, found out that Costco's pre-moved the membranes from the back of the ribs, which therefore cut down my prep time in half.
Winning off the field.
That's big. If you want to see delicious
wingy
ribs, Tommy does want wingy, but Tommy also wants ribby. If you want to see some delicious ribs, you can go to my Instagram account. We had ribs. I had ribs for lunch. It was my last picture I posted. It was a couple nights ago. Oh, they were good. Brussels sprouts, ribs, and unsweet iced tea. I'm a happy, happy man.
Can you imagine if somebody's barbecuing tomorrow, how much sweat they're probably going to have on those ribs?
By the way,
if you're barbecuing out, I mean, obviously you got to barbecue outside, but my God, if you're going to do that outside tomorrow, more power to
you. This is like a hack, wacky bit. Be like, it's going to be hot out there, so yeah, make sure you stay inside. The weather for the next few days is a show. Heat indexes of 110 to 115, just miserable. Anything outside's a disaster. I've got to cut my grass so bad. I kept thinking, I'll do it tomorrow. I'm not doing it right now.
How big is your yard?
Not very big at all. A little front yard, little backyard. Takes probably 30 minutes to cut. Tops, 25 minutes.
In this heat? I was outside yesterday. I just unloaded some mulch to take in the backyard, and within 5 minutes, it was looked like I'd gotten out of a shower.
You'd be a skeleton.
I could cut it with like scissors, or I could use my little push mower. And I normally just use the push mower, but it is hot. So are the Nats. Kurt Suzuki's on the show at 1. We're giving away Nats tickets at 12:45, less than an hour from now. Next, we're going blitzing around the fan on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.